experiencing some technical difficulties. So if the screens go out, please just sing with all your heart, even if you have to guess the words, okay? Because it makes these guys feel better singing with them, all right? It's a blessing to be here with you tonight and to share in this part of our Lenten sermon series. You will be afraid is the title for tonight. From the moment that we are born, we learn to fear the world around us. We learn to certainly fear the stranger, fear of falling, heat. As we grow older, we unfortunately realize that fear sometimes drives our economy, our political arena, and decisions that people make. One of the elements of fear is that it takes us off guard. It pushes us off balance a little bit, and it creates the sensation that things are out of control. Yet fear is intriguing sometimes, isn't it? There's an entire genre of movies and TV shows that are fueled by our curiosity with fear. As we will see in today's scripture, Jesus recognizes that fear can cause the failure of discipleship. Faithful sharing and practice of the gospel puts disciples, both then and now, face to face with others who live with unbelief. I once had someone say to me that accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior meant that all the bad stuff in your life just goes away and there's nothing to worry about anymore. Well, God bless them, because I'm here to tell you that as a teenager, I asked Jesus to be in my heart, but I've certainly faced my fair share of being scared out of my mind and some struggles. Sometimes those scary moments were self-inflicted, but if there's one thing I've learned in this time that I've had on this earth is that the evil one can be very crafty. He knows just how to get to me and how to raise the fear factor in my life. This is how he does it. He sets my mother's mind and heart to wandering. On the nights when kids aren't home at the appointed hour, or when I would wake up from an awful dream, usually that involved them, and especially in real life moments when they faced serious illnesses. Now, evil may know how to rattle my cage, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am a child created by God, and I'm supposed to be a mother. He's been telling me that since I was little. And because of that, I also know that that's one of the ways that God opens my eyes to his great love for me. I have grown because of his faithfulness when I called out to him in those moments of fear. And I will be forever grateful for the mercy that he has shown, because he allows me to look back and to see how he carried every moment. It's really stating the obvious, isn't it, that fear is real and that we will be afraid. It can be necessary in case of learning not to touch a burner on the stove or not to go with a stranger. But when fear permeates our hearts and our minds, it can cripple us. It can restrict our individual purpose, and it can be a stumbling block to our growth, our faith. Our scripture for today comes from Matthew chapter 10, and it's a good thing it's on the back of your bulletins, because we're getting ready to read it. Ta-da! Okay. Say a little prayer. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus knows that we will face times of fear and times of suffering, and he's laying it all out on the table in these verses. So as I see it, I see Jesus addressing two types or areas of fear that we're going to face. One would be the fear of sharing our faith, or evangelism, if you want to hear the church word for it. And two, fear about life-related issues. Because our granddaughter, Ember, has encountered the reality of death several times in her four very young little years, we have honest conversations about when Nanny goes to heaven. I don't want my loved ones to be scared about death, but understand that I look forward to heaven and seeing our Savior face to face. I tell her that I know she will be sad, but in those times I want her to remember all the silly things that we did and the songs that we sang and the prayers that we share, and that I will know it when she's thinking about me. I tell her that that's why it's so very important to have Jesus as our very best friend, and that we must each ask him to live in our hearts, because that way we will never truly be separated forever. I want them to know that because I love God and he loves me, and because one day I accepted his invitation, I'm not afraid. I can have super bad days. My kids can be really sick. I can have way more questions than answers. I can wish for all kinds of things in and of this world. But at the end of the night, as I'm closing my eyes, I know that if I should die before I wake, I have a Savior for my soul to take. We can see that fearlessness is the main point in these scriptures because it's repeated three times, and everything else supports why we should not fear. In verse 26, so have no fear of them. In verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. In verse 31, so do not be afraid. So what Jesus is trying to do with these words, I believe, is fortify the hearts of his disciples against fear. He is trying to help us have his peace as people of his church. He is trying to make us courageous when we face opposition. He wants us to be free from anxiety so we can answer questions about our faith in love with a genuine concern for others instead of ourselves. And the way Jesus sets out to accomplish this in our hearts is through his word, by telling us truths about God that if we believe it, if we would just believe it, will liberate us for fearless, authentic, loving life in the service of the church. So how does that help us overcome fear and be courageous in the cause of sharing our faith? Verse 27 clearly states that we should be declaring the truth about Christ and his disciples. During his earthly ministry, Jesus often kept things kind of low-key and low-profile. But now he's instructing his disciples to cut loose, to expose every false thing that is said about him, to declare his glories before the nations. What is comforting in this argument is the promise that Jesus gives in verse 26, that whatever evil men would speak falsely will most surely be exposed. It helps us by assuring us that the truth that we speak will triumph. People may reject it in the moment that we share it. They may cast it aside for a time being. They may try to bury it and hide it from the world and pretend that the truth does not exist. But God will have the last word. So without fear, we go and we share. Verse 28 is an amazing verse to me. In the midst of trying to encourage fearlessness and comfort, Jesus kind of throws this sentence at us. Fear doing anything that would cause you to be cast away by God. The fear of man is the motive that leads often to sin. And Jesus is trying to tell us that the penalty of those sins should be much more feared than anything that a human man could do to us or say to us. In one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Davy Jones, who for the record I believe is the ugliest pirate I've ever seen, says this: "Do you fear death? Do you fear the dark abyss? All your deeds laid bare, all your sins punished. I can offer you an escape." For the record, that's the last creature I'd make a deal with. The truth is, there is no true escape, is there? Serving a creature like Davy Jones for 100 years on a ship where you become transformed into something that looks like him is not my idea of an escape. But how often do we, or do we see others, live fearing the consequences of our deeds and not understanding that, yes, we deserve punishment, but through Jesus we receive life? That's the hold that this world, and that's the hold that fear can have on us. Verse 28 is also amazing because it shows that Jesus lives at a different level. He has the higher, otherworldly values on his mind. Fear is what we feel when our greatest values become threatened. So when Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, they can only kill your body," he means don't count this life with all its attachments as the most valuable thing you will ever have. Confessing my name before man is more valuable than life. When we set out to follow Jesus, we surrender earthly life as an ultimate value. Eternity is far more important, isn't it, than our time on earth. I have more things to fear, and I don't want my final fear to be that I cast Christ aside on this earth. Union with God is more desirable than any pleasure this earth can offer. Then Jesus leaves us with verses 29 and 30, verses that show us the degree of God's love for us. It's interesting that Jesus puts these scriptures back to back, the fearfulness of hell and the tenderness of God who cares for the sparrows. Sparrows, little bitty creatures that fly around and are so small that just one of them bears no importance, no value. It takes two of them to even equal a farthing, which is below the penny. Farthing is a Roman coin equal to a tenth of a denarius, and it almost equals a half penny of our money. And yet the sparrows are not shut out of the divine care of our God. Scripture says, "One of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father knowing it." For my entire life, the hearing or the reading of this scripture always in my mind related to death. But one of the commentaries I read challenged me to hear it like this: "They do not light on the ground for food to pick up a grain of corn without your heavenly Father knowing it, without his providing that food for them. Yes, the birds that soar in the air will fall to the ground upon their death. Even so, the highest man or the most powerful will fall to the ground just the same." Then Jesus adds one other ingredient to this argument against fear. In verse 30, "God knows us better than we know ourselves. He has counted and named every hair on our head, even though most of the time we place no value on them. Not one of our hairs falls to the ground without him realizing it." If God takes the care to number the hairs on our heads, then how much more does he long to calm our fears or to comfort our souls? The hairs fall out of our heads and are lost, and we, most of us, never consider them. Yet they do not go unnoticed by him. So in this moment and in the days ahead, don't be afraid of anything except unbelief. Let us live with the same otherworldly values as Jesus did, being sharers of our faith in the quiet and the dark places, and also loudly from the housetops. May it be so.